Let's begin by invoking the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful, and enkindle in them the fire of thy love. Send forth thy Spirit, and they shall be created.
And we shall be in the face of the earth.
Let us pray. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, granted by the same Spirit, we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our Lady of the Rosary, Mary, Seat of Wisdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What am I going to get out of this retreat? I think is a question we have to all ask ourselves. And we usually go to a retreat because we want inspiration. We go to a retreat because we feel that we truly need something in our spiritual lives, or maybe our spiritual life has grown cold or dry. And so we're looking for something to start it again and get us back in the mood of prayer. Sometimes the prayer becomes a burden in our lives. And a retreat is always a good way to make a new beginning. And we priests and religious are required by church law to make a retreat every year. The church in its wisdom realizes that we cannot give what we do not have, and certainly we need to do a retreat and to find that inspiration, that power of the Holy Spirit that comes to us all. I want to look at the church at this time. And it's not very pretty of a picture that we have of the church. If you read some of the blogs, you see that some of the bishops are fighting with the Holy Father, that they don't like what he's doing. This Holy Father, Pope Benedict, had the privilege of being in the Vatican 20-something years before he was elected Supreme Pontiff. He knew what was going on in the church, and he began to address it immediately. Some of the things that he's tried to address are things that have been a problem since the Second Vatican Council. And I mentioned that in the homily of the Mass, that people look at Vatican II as if this were a completely different church than it was before. And nothing could be further from the truth. The Holy Father calls this the hermeneutic of rupture. That people look at the past as no good. And I can remember in the seminary, because I was in the seminary during the end of the council and afterwards, and it is as if that this was a completely different church than it was before Vatican II. And if we look at Vatican II, most people, I go around the room and say, what really happened? You probably would say, well, they made the church easier. Or we don't have to do Friday abstinence. Really, we do, but that's what most people think anyway, that we don't have to do penance on Friday anymore, except during Lent. We don't fast all through Lent. We fast only on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. We don't fast from midnight before Holy Communion. We have 1 hour fast before Holy Communion. If you look around your church on Sunday, you see people chewing gum, and even chewing gum while they come up to Holy Communion. They only do that once with me, because I stop them and I say, take it out of your mouth. And sometimes they swallow it. Mother Mary Gabriel taught me in the seventh grade. And I remember one boy was chewing gum one time in class. I even remember his name. But Mother caught him, and she had him stand up, and he says, what's that in your mouth? And you could see him swallow it. Mother replied to him, I hope it has a safe landing. But That's the kind of thing. So people don't take seriously the rules of the church. So we say that the church is in crisis. Even our priests seem to be more CEOs of parishes. I see some parishes that they're more bureaucracy than the federal government. You know, everything is handled before it gets to the priest. You know, the priest just kind of appears on the scene, you know, to do the funeral or the wedding and stuff. Everything is taken care of beforehand. And that's completely not what Christ was calling. Christ was calling priests to be shepherds. And priests can only be good shepherds if they themselves are men of prayer and who take seriously this vocation and this sacrament of holy orders that they have received. That marriages are in trouble. You know, we see a couple and we think that's a wonderful marriage, and all of a sudden, you know, they're getting divorced. And that's such a horrible thing. One time in a parish, I had two couples. They completely swapped their spouses. You know, sought annulments and then married each other. And they were upset because they wouldn't let them be extraordinary ministers of Holy Communion. But I thought it was a scandal involved here. There's never been a reform in the church that made things easier. That's never affected a reform in the church by making things easier. Now, the theme of this retreat is entering into the sacrifice of Jesus. The three words that for tonight in this talk are the three thoughts that Jesus says to us. If you wish to be my follower, first, deny yourself. Second, take up your cross. Thirdly, follow me. So those are the things that we have to do in our lives. Deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow him. And we will look at those three different things. There's a cost at being a Christian. If you watch, you know, the meanness that goes on now in the political arena, because people want political correctness, and somehow Christianity is the worst possible thing in the world. We're just mean, hateful people. We hate homosexuals. We hate divorced people. They tell us that, you know, we don't want women to succeed because Catholic Church won't ordain women. We have these things that if you read the Catholic press, there was this group, and I think it probably still exists, called Roman Catholic Women Priests. And they go out on boats somewhere and they do what they call an ordination of women to diaconate and priesthood. And Bishop Burke forbade a religious sister in St. Louis for having a prayer service with these supposed so-called women priests in one of the parishes. So she had it on the front steps of the church because she couldn't have it in the church. So he interdicted her. Now, that's different from excommunication. She was prevented from receiving the sacraments. She wasn't excommunicated, but she was prevented from receiving the sacraments. And people look upon that, oh, we don't need discipline like that anymore. You have people come to you as a priest and say, my marriage is falling apart. The first thing I ask is, when was the last time you went to confession? Well, what's that have to do with it? I said, it's got everything to do with it. Because, see, the sacrament of marriage, because it's a sacrament, there are graces involved. And if the couple is not in the state of grace, these graces are not there to help the couple to work through a marriage. And you know that marriages are difficult. Raising children is difficult. Getting along with the same spouse is difficult. My parents were married 65 years when my father died. And the last image I have of my parents together, we were bringing my father to the hospital. He had pancreatic cancer. And he and my mother were holding hands together. And I was watching them because I let them off the car. And they were holding hands going into the hospital together. In the last days of my father's life, him telling my mother, I love her. And they were such precious time for me and my brothers and sister. My father would look at my mother and says, I'm real proud of our four children. And he said to us, I wish we'd had more, but God didn't give us more. We were there with my father to his death. And we're there now with my mother, who has Alzheimer's and is 91 years old, and taking care of her. But what makes it, to me, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to be able to do this. But grace of God is the only thing that makes this kind of life possible. So many of our children in the Catholic school don't go to Sunday Mass. We talk about it being Father Clark, who's with me on this retreat, and he will be giving you some of the talks. We were in a parish, and he was teaching in the school and telling children it was a mortal sin to miss Mass on Sunday. And one of the parents came in and was irate. How dare you tell them this? Because they said my husband's going to hell because he don't go to church. Well, he's an atheist anyway, so. But anyway, she wound up taking the kids out of the school. She didn't want to hear that. So these are the kinds of things that we face in parish. You see the complete lack of reverence at Holy Mass, people talking in church before Mass and after Mass like it's the gymnasium and not the house of God and a place of prayer, a house of prayer. The pastor in the church where I am before me told the people, he said, some priests tell you can't talk in church. I say you can talk in church. So I came and said they couldn't talk in church, and they said, but the pastor before us told us we could talk in church. I said, he's not here. You want to go to where he is, you're welcome to go there. But we don't talk in church here. We see the Blessed Sacrament taking out of the church or put into a place, an obscure place, so that people don't have the time before Mass and after Mass to spend a few moments with our Blessed Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. There are some wonderful things that are happening in the church too. Perpetual adoration chapels, people coming together. Wednesday night in our diocese, we had a beautiful Mass to honor St. Faustina on her feast date, October the 5th. And the bishop has given us a shrine of divine mercy in the diocese where we have the relic of St. Faustina. And we have a beautiful prayer group there that go to the dying and pray the chaplet of divine mercy. They go to jails and pray the chaplet of divine mercy. They go and pray with people who are having difficulties. And they have a website and they take requests from all over the world. And people they pray that somebody 24 hours a day is praying the chaplet of divine mercy. And so one of their prayers was that we could have a shrine. And they have that. In Father Clark's parish, that's where the shrine is. And these are good things that are happening. But it's like the apparition of Our Lady of Fatima right before World War I. And she told us to pray. And if people didn't pray, there would be a worse war, and there was. In the 1930s, our Lord appeared to Saint Faustina, giving her the way of divine mercy. And before this horrible war, that before thousands of priests were killed in Europe, millions of people. I've heard different things. I've heard as many as 80 million people died in World War II. You see the horrible things that happened in Russia under Stalin and the Bolshevik Revolution, the starvation of the people in the Ukraine, people sent to Siberia to hard labor and to die. Those horrible things that happened, and now we're faced with radical Islam in the world that seeks to destroy Christianity, that sees it as a duty from God to kill people they call infidels, Christians. There needs to be, in Western Europe and in the Western world, United States, Canada, there needs to be a revival of faith, of strong Catholic faith. Understanding of the Holy Mass as the sacrifice of Christ, as the sacraments, as the result and the fruit of the sacrifice of Christ. We need to see that in our lives. But what we need to do individually is, what does it mean for me to say, deny myself, take up the cross of Jesus, and to follow him? Those are the things that we will answer during the retreat for ourselves. What does it mean for me? Understanding our Lord. One of the most beautiful things that I did was that I went to the Holy Land in 1993, and I went to the places and was reading the scriptures of the things that happened in those places. That's something that I wish every Christian person could do. Because the image of our Blessed Lord, the human image of our Blessed Lord, grows so much there that you see him walking in this area. I remember someone saying to us, you know, he left Nazareth because they were hateful to him at Nazareth, his hometown. And he went down to Capernaum on the sea. Our Lord loved the place around the Sea of Galilee. And it was there that most of his public ministry took place, most of his preaching. Our Lord was no stupid, because, you see, around the Sea of Galilee are these natural theaters. So if you stand with your back to the sea and you talk into these, everybody can hear you. So there could be thousands of people there and they could hear you. So our Lord knew how to preach to a lot of people at one time. He didn't have to holler. So the image of our Lord. Remember when the Passion of the Christ, the movie, came out, and people flocked to the movie, and everyone there was moved by the movie. I was moved by the movie. But we soon lost that, didn't we? We lost that love for the Passion of our Lord to see what he did. St. Francis of Assisi used the Stations of the Cross to try to get people to understand the humanity of our Lord and to appreciate the person of Jesus. So you and I, we come here this weekend at Casa Maria. We will pray a lot. We will hear things. Hopefully we will grow in our faith. Hopefully we will know what things I need to do. What does deny myself mean in my life? What does carrying the cross mean? And doesn't mean necessarily taking care of sick mama. It doesn't necessarily mean dealing with troubled children or a drunken husband. Those are human crosses, but there's an added element of cross, of being a Christian to the world, the example that I give, and following Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.